and welcome back to another episode of Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked least to most likely to respond to a theater attendance enjoying the movie with you two.
Yeah.
Okay.
First, Robin Langenhop.
Hi, I'm Robin Langenhop playing Hayden Kincaid, and I was not sure where I was going to end up on this list, because sometimes I just enter a conversation and I'm not really there. I'm just saying words in response to what other people say. I might give you a nice not having any idea what you just said to me.
That makes me question our entire friendship, Robin.
And the last two are unranked because they've never seen movies.
Okay. Max. Okay, yes, you know what? I don't know if I like this. I've seen movies. It's just been a minute.
Max Weinberg.
Okay, wait. So here's the thing. When you go see a theater show, they also say enjoy the show, like the ticket takers or the ushers.
In the ranking, I specifically said to a theater attendant, enjoy the movie.
Yeah, I've definitely done it for restaurants, you know, Subway. They're like, enjoy your meal. And I'm like, yeah, you too.
Yeah.
But as Casey said, I don't see movies. So yeah, you're right. I don't qualify for this. But Wyatt absolutely has.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he says it sincerely.
Yeah, you too.
You too.
And Rowan McStay.
Howdy, I'm Rowan McStay playing Solomon Breyer. And I'm like a happy birthday, you two. Have a good movie, you two. I told my therapist I loved them on the phone the other day just because it's like habit for, not on purpose, because it was like
I get
habit
that.
For me to be like, okay, love you, bye. Like,
yep.
I say the wrong shit all the time.
I'm pretty sure I called our head of our theater program in grad school mom once.
Oh, no. She had great vibes.
Man.
Were they mom vibes?
Kinda.
With that, let's dive right in. Last time on Mage Hand High Five, you were in the final stages of the fight in the ruined arena of the pit. After a couple of close calls, you were finally able to come together and take down the godlike Boyd, which released a tidal wave of fire in the process. Before it could hit you, however, Muldenin redirected the flame back into the fount, restoring it to its former glory. Unfortunately, the priest was mortally wounded, reconnecting with Wyatt and Hayden once more before returning to his god. Salome retrieved the logbook of visitors to the pit and vowed vengeance on Threed, much to the dismay of Belinda, who was reminded of her own brother's quest for vengeance. And when we last left off, Wyatt and Hayden mourned Muldenin in the ruins of the arena. Where you are now? You are exactly where you left off. Salome, you are still in Boyd's destroyed office, full of disheveled taxidermy and cigars.
Mm-hmm.
You're alone, as Belinda has took off.
All right, fine. Be safe out there, Miss Bartle.
Can I look at the gun?
Yeah.
Has anything, like, it got more powerful in this fight?
Mm-hmm.
Can I kind of try to get a sense of what's going on there?
Sure. Roll an Arcana check.
Oh, that's fun. Maybe I should let somebody smarter than me do this.
We don't have any of those in this group.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Yeah, we might have to bring it to Clovis or
this
something.
This party's all vibes.
That's an
no
eight.
Thoughts.
That's an eight.
An eight.
Yeah.
As you look at the gun, you watch as sickly eldritch green symbols dance up and down the barrel.
Oh, that's new.
These don't look to be of any power you've seen before. They don't seem to be of the river or the wilds or the flame or even the red-eyed god. They're something else.
Oh,
which is a lot for an eight.
I think about the fact that I'm going to have to run this by Maggie and Lila and that they're going to be disappointed in me.
How many kills are you up to now?
Five.
Five. You see five symbols
dancing
along the barrel. Mm.
Okay, that's new. God damn it. All right. One last thing. I want to just take a look around to see if there is anything else that I can report back to Shift about this place. So I want to go looking for, I have the ledger. I want like evidence. Like I want as much just shit that I can collect about this place to try to bring down as many people as possible.
Sure. Roll.
You can make me roll investigation. It's fine.
Sorry. It is in fact investigation.
That's a six. I already have the
That's
ledger.
That's a six. Boyd was not really one for filing cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
They don't exactly scream hotshot Florida man as Boyd's entire personality gave off.
Mm-hmm. Then I think I will just send a sad little flower to Lila through the sword and then go out to find Hayden and Wyatt.
Okay. You touch the hilt of the blade. A flower blossoms.
It's like dry. It's like crispy. Oh. Lila gets a crispy flower.
Somewhere, Lila gets a crispy flower and says, I don't know what to do with that.
Right.
And you set off for the arena.
Mm.
Hayden and Wyatt, you still sit in this ruined arena. Salome and Belinda left a while back, although it's up for debate whether you actually noticed.
Hayden has been very focused on how Wyatt's doing, but as time passes, this weird sensation comes over Hayden where they feel strangely relaxed despite everything that's gone on in the last, you know, few minutes. And there's just something about the last embers of this fire that just feel strangely cleansing. Hayden is going to close their eyes and let a little of that color, the red and orange and yellow and just hints of blue, fill their hair. And they'll put a hand on Wyatt's shoulder and say, how you doing, kiddo? You want me to stay with you for a while? Or would you rather be by yourself for a bit?
I think I'd like to stay here a little longer if that's okay with you.
Sure. You want me with you?
That's up to you.
Well, how about this? I'm gonna go check in on Salome, see if she's doing all right. But you just give a holler, and I'll come running for you. All right?
Thanks.
Sure thing. And Hayden will go looking for Salome.
So Wyatt's gonna kind of just look both deep into himself and to the flame pit in front of him and try to just access the flame to see how it's doing after everything that just happened.
I'm going to handle this in a similar way that I do to Salome accessing the river. What is your spellcasting modifier?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Roll a straight wisdom check.
Do I get proficiency?
No, not yet. Listen, Salome had to work on it for a while.
I had to work for it for a bit.
I'm the chosen one.
Okay. Aren't we all?
I have the mark of the flame somewhere on my body.
Somewhere? You don't even know?
Listen,
oh, I know.
All three of you are chosen ones. So.
No, just Wyatt.
18.
With an 18, the world darkens. Not entirely, but it feels like your vision is dimming. And in fact, the only thing that does not dim in your sight is the fount before you. Its flame continues to burn as the rest of your vision dims. And as that happens, you watch as a massive lion, the head and mane of a fire so bright you cannot pierce it, pulls himself out of the crevice and stands before you.
Wyatt looks up at the flame and asks, how are you doing? Are you okay?
There is a low growl deep within his chest. It's not an answer. And he seems not pained for the time being.
Can I take a look at the thing that was on your side to see if I can maybe do a little more now?
He turns, and you see it again. The skin around it has healed some, but the amulet still blazes with its red, sickly light, pulsing like a heartbeat.
Wyatt's going to walk up to it and use, for mechanical purposes, both a second and a first level spell slot to just blast it with more fire.
You do. Fire unleashes from your hands, scorching and scorching and scorching and scorching, throwing damage onto this parasite. As you blast this thing with fire, you hear that same voice in your head, deeper than the earth, one that you have heard issuing from the amulet before. It says,
I ask you not to die. Live. And together, we will conquer death. No more shall your loved ones die.
Death is natural. It's how we feed the flame. It's sad, but we have to enjoy the times we have with each other.
If you will not help me stop death, then you are an agent of the wheel.
And Wyatt, you find this fire that is issued from your hands. You watch as it rebounds off of the amulet and hits you back. How much damage did you roll?
That's 24 damage.
Okay. So 24 fire damage is rebounded back at you.
Yikes.
Yeah.
You have resistance to fire damage.
Yes, so I only take 12.
But you take 12. As you are knocked back by this, you hear the amulet's voice.
So be it.
And you see the amulet sink a little bit deeper into the lion's flesh. The flame roars in pain, turns, and runs, leaping back into the crevice.
I promise I'll help. I'll get it off of you.
As his roar fades into the distance, your vision restores, and you're sitting back in the arena. Hayden.
Yes.
You went to find Salome.
I did.
How's that going?
I don't know. Do I find her?
You are.
I think as I'm as I'm walking along, there's so much devastation and ash around, but Hayden still feels weirdly calm. And I think it's just absently, Hayden is just absently drawing the ashes up from the ground and just kind of swirling them around between their fingers, letting the ash just kind of cover their hands and just reveling in the post-fire calm.
You find Salome in such a different headspace. She is almost agitatedly on a mission. You see that she is, like, she almost walks past you. In fact, I think she starts to because she is, like, singularly focused at this point.
Oh, girl.
Oh, shit. Hayden, hey, have y'all gotten the people out of the prison yet?
Not everybody, no. I was kind of focused on other things. We should probably take care of that.
Yeah, no, okay, so first, hold on.
How are you doing? You seem more than a little frazzled.
I gotta be honest with you, Hayden. I could not care less how I'm doing. I could walk out into the desert and not care less how I'm doing. How are you doing?
Well, let's not do that.
How's Wyatt doing?
Wyatt's struggling. Wyatt's having a rough time. I don't know if you saw, but Father Muldenin.
I did.
We lost him again, I suppose. Well, for the first time.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that for both of you. I wanted to leave you a little space with it, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing for him right now, but...
I'm glad to see that he... I don't know, I'm glad to see that y'all got to see him again and that he went peacefully. He seemed to go peacefully anyway.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I mourned him once already, and... I don't know, I'm feeling... good.
Yeah?
I don't know, I got the cleansing fire in me, if we want to call it that. Just... like space has opened up. I let go of something that I've been holding for a while.
That's good, dear heart. I'm real happy to hear that.
You look quite the opposite. Is there something you want to get off your chest?
I mean, this ain't it, but Melinda left and I lost a hairpin. So there's that, I guess. She went to find Barabbas.
I have a feeling it'll come back around for you.
Maybe. She said to come find her if I ever forgive myself, and we'll see. I found the ledger of all the folks who have ever been here, and shockingly, Thaddeus wasn't on it, although I'm sure he knew about it. I don't know, darling. It's just he's been gone for months now, and it still most of the time feels like there's no way out from under him. You know.
Hey, girl. I don't know how to help you. Do you maybe just want a hug? I can give you a hug.
I think Salome feels like crawling out of her skin right now. And I think she's like, honestly, no, I don't think. If I'm touched right now, I might smack you.
I could turn you into something cute and snuggly and I just put you in one of my pockets. I could do that now. I got a new ability. I can make other people turn into things.
You know what? And I will absolutely note that for later, darling. But right now, I am just, I'm tired. I just want to get everybody the hell out of here and go home.
Yeah. Let's take a step back for a second, all right?
All right. Also, Wyatt's parents were here. Did you see?
I did not see.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants to see.
Okay. One thing at a time. First, let's take a breath. Next, we get those prisoners out, and then we all get together and talk through some things.
Is everybody from that fucking Viper's Den 3 out first?
I think those who could run did run.
All right. I don't want any of these poor people that are down there running into the people that paid to watch them kill each other.
Me neither.
I think we need to find rations or just whatever they had for kitchens, and we need to make sure that people are set up to either come with us or leave on their own to wherever they want to go.
Yeah, I've got some information I'm looking for myself as well. I learned that that wraith, that knight, is Fel from the players.
Oh, shit. Like, Fel and Q? Yep. Do we know if Q's here?
We didn't get that much time to talk, but Fel seemed like they were... They thought they were betrayed by the other players, and I want to try and track them down.
Why the hell would they do that?
I don't know. One more mystery.
Okay. Okay. Then I guess we gotta be on the lookout for Q here as well. Hey, while we're walking and talking, what the fuck happened to you?
Any number of things. Should we wait for Wyatt?
Let's grab Wyatt on the way. yeah. Wyatt, darling.
Let's not get into a whole big thing about him.
and then we go to find Wyatt. I go to find Wyatt.
All right. I lead Salome back to Wyatt.
You do. Wyatt, you are still seated on the floor. Mordric is nearby. He seems to be giving you space right now. He's honestly just kneeling. He seems to be deep in thought or meditation.
I think that Wyatt is... This is the first time I think that both of you have seen Wyatt open the Book of the Flame. And he's reading from particularly the, like, end of life section, like the afterlife section, as he kind of stares into the crevice in front of him. Hmm. Just taking in both what happened with the lion and also what happened with Father Muldenon.
The passages speak that souls are consumed by the great flame. They provide him sustenance. They are given the eternal warmth of his grace. They join him. And because he does not die, they do not die. And so anyone who dies here is not truly gone. They have just returned to the flame from which we have all come.
I'm going to slowly walk up to Wyatt and sit down with him and say, "Hey, dear heart."
"Hi."
"It's good to see you. Not fighting for your life."
Wyatt hugs Salome.
A big old hug. Yeah, I gave him a big hug. I think at first Salome kind of flinches a little bit because she's just like so feeling like tense, and just kind of eases into it. And then we'll just pull Hayden in as well.
I was going to say, absolutely, I engulf the both of you.
Yeah.
Why it pushes Hayden away.
Hey! All right, fine.
And I think that Salome will, with Wyatt, do that sort of classic adult thing of just shelving whatever she's feeling and say, "Darling, you did such a great job out there. I know that was not a happy thing for you, and I'm real sorry to hear about Father Muldenon. But damned if you didn't do a hell of a job protecting the flame today."
"Thanks. I kind of hope I don't have to do anything like that again."
"I hope so, too. And I hope if you do, we can be there with you next time. It's a damn shame we were separated."
"Yeah.
We're going to go try to help people get out. You think it'll make you feel better to try to help some more people?"
"Yeah. That'd be nice."
"All right. Well, hey, why don't we just walk and talk and... we can all kind of debrief about what everybody's been going through here. Wyatt, dear heart, what about you?"
"I woke up in a room with a bunch of animals and..."
"Boyd's office?"
"But I guess, yeah.
Bunch of dead ones? A lot of cigars? Smelled like cigar smoke?"
"Yeah, it smelled awful."
"Who would want to keep dead animals everywhere?"
"People like Boyd."
"Good riddance."
"Then, and then someone named Honey Bunny was there and a deep gnome, but they both kind of left, and then Boyd just kind of talked to me about being a man and then offered to show me the fount."
"All right. Wait, hold on, Honey Bunny. You mean Mary Jean Wainwright? Laterno? Whatever the hell her last name is now?"
"Oh, is that the lady who tried to kill us in an elevator?"
"Tried to kill?"
"Yeah. No,
what?
So that was Luther Wainwright's widow. You see, okay, Salome pulls her corset back and goes,
"All right,
yeah,
let's
see,
get into it.
Why, you remember when I was showing you all the memories and stuff and there was that fella from Three that stabbed me in the back right there?
Yeah, the face down, ascot up guy.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Well, his widow gave me the stab wound right next to it that looks a little bit fresher.
Oh, do you want me to? I could do something with that if you want.
Sure.
You've got enough internal pain. Let's take care of the external pain as well.
I'll take a little help if you got it. I'm not going to lie. It hurts. I can't feel my left leg.
I'll cast a second level Cure Wounds on Salome.
Oh, thank you. Great.
That's 13 health.
That does feel a little better. Thank you. That was Mary Jean, formerly Wainwright, formerly Laterno, now apparently Crenshaw. And she... How you say it? She's a little bit of a social climber. I don't know where in the Badlands she came from, but she did come from here.
I wouldn't necessarily call what she did climbing.
She did something. And found herself in this situation. It seems like she's on the lookout to sort of hitch her wagon to anybody that can give her money and power. And so at the moment, I think that that's Crenshaw. And now she's got it in her head that I keep killing all the men that she shacks up with, but...
Well, maybe she should choose better.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate coincidence. I'm not really one to talk about choosing men, but you can say it.
That kind of feels like it's on her.
Well, again, you can say it.
That kind of feels like it's on her.
Yeah, well, anyway, I think she got a little bit of a chip on her shoulder about it. All right, well, wait, hold on. So he just... Wait, he wanted to show you the flame. I read a book in the library. Do I have Dervish's book?
There's a library
here? There's a library here?
I believe Dervish took it back.
I think so, but I killed him.
Oh, yeah, you did. Did you search his body for it?
No, I wouldn't have. No. Well, I killed Doc Dervish. We can always go find the body in the book if you want to, but there was a passage in this book that I found. By the way, there's a library down here.
Maybe we'll help people first, and then we got to go to the library next.
Yeah. No, we do. We're on our way right now.
Hopefully when you check these books, they don't, like, you know, have stairs and stuff come out of them or snakes.
One would hope. Oh, you're talking about facts. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what? So
sorry.
So, yeah, I saw, and there was a library, and there was a book in the library that Doc Dervish was messing with. It said that they were trying to get someone who was flame-touched, like you, Wyatt, to open the Fount of the Flame, and that all hell would break loose if it ended up in the wrong hands.
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it, He was kind of really nice to me, except when he got a little snippy.
Hmm.
But he was just like, yeah, do you want to see the flame? And I was like, or do you want to see the fountain? And I said, yeah. And then he kind of brought me there. That was really a lot of that. And then, but I did pass Father Muldenon's place, and I wanted to try to communicate with him. So I pulled the whole pretend to go to the bathroom thing and went to the bathroom.
Wait, you pulled the pretend? I did the pretend to go to the bathroom thing.
You did that too?
Yeah!
Oh, no. Wait, it worked for me. Did it work for y'all? Are people just that gullible?
Oh, it worked.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely not. They were on to me from the moment I said bathroom because you had done it already.
Oh, no. Did you say that to Doc Dervish? Because I just did it.
I did say that to Doc Dervish.
Damn, that's tough. That's bad luck.
Apparently, moments after you did. Literal moments.
I pretended to be... Mrs. Theodosius Jameson, and I pull out Theo's signet ring. And that's why Doc let me up out of the library and into the pit to go watch. Which, why? Do you know about the pit?
I know nothing.
Oh, yes. They're having some kind of gladiatorial arena where they're pitting people against each other to try and kill each other off for entertainment. I got in there. I managed to get through the first round, and then Belinda Bottle rescued me out of it because she's been in hiding here pretending to be a god to try and find Barabbas because she didn't know that he was just out and about. Apparently Philomena and Mordric were competing in the next round after I left.
Yeah, hold on. Speaking of which, does anybody know where the hell Philomena got off to? I mean, I'm sure she'd want to help us get folks out of here.
Philomena!
It's funny that you talk about this because as you're walking, you hear conversations happening in the distance, in that up ahead is the large sort of circular room that goes around this whole complex in which all of the cells are in. And as you walk into it, you see that there is a little bit of a heated conversation happening on the ground floor outside one of the cages. You see three people who are in knight's armor. They seem to have been stopped midway through a row of letting people out of their cells by a small dwerger woman who seems to be giving them what for. She says, as you are walking in, you overhear her shout, "Oh, yeah? And does your almighty flame god have big red eyes? Because I heard that shit before."
Doesn't, actually.
Hey, girl, we need to fill you in on some shit. Get over here.
Oh,
yeah, I bet your god's gonna give me all my hopes and dreams. I heard that shit before. I've seen his doors.
All right.
If you devote yourself to the lion, you'll get everything your heart desires.
Wyatt, darling, I don't think that's gonna help right now. Remember, Philomena was the one that we saw in the caves with, actually, we ran into Mordric with her. She thinks you're talking about the red-eyed god. She thinks you're talking about the parasite.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. No, not that. Just the actual flame.
Different god.
He helps you. Different god. If you devote yourself to the flame.
Oh, yeah. We got a whole new conspiracy to fill you in on.
She looks up at the three of you and goes, "Oh, great. You guys, come on down here and tell these acolytes what for."
No. They might be working with Mordric, but Mordric's actually working with them. They're different people. They're not the flame. It's a different thing. Also, where the hell have you been?
How many red-themed gods are there? I'm sick of this shit.
Two. They're exactly two.
Girl, where were you? Because last time I checked, you were falling off a damn bridge in Twin River.
That's right. How'd you survive falling off a bridge?
I don't know. I woke up in a cell.
Holy hell.
Oh.
Y'all have made your way down to where they are. The Flame Knights stand there awkwardly. One of them still has a ring of keys.
No. Y'all should definitely keep letting folks out of here, all right? Just let people know that we will have rations in the kitchen. We'll make sure that everybody's got what they need to get safely to Twin River or Echo or wherever they want to go. Also, there's somebody called Loda in here who might want to meet y'all. If y'all run into a Loda, I think she'd be real excited to hear about Sacrament. And she's got this whole thing with this fella Jim, but I don't really think she'll tell him. Jim's kind of an on-again, off-again type thing.
I have no idea what that was.
I have so many questions after that statement.
One of them says, "Oh, okay, ma'am, we'll be on the lookout for a Loda. One thing to keep in mind that we've been looking through is, as we've been going through these cells, we realized there are a lot of innocent folk in here, sort of just on the charge of quote unquote trespassing. But there's a lot of people who actually did time in Threed, like were convicted of some pretty serious stuff."
Well, I can say that I'm certainly not the one to be passing judgment on anybody for what they've done. But listen, y'all, we can't leave anybody in here. Anybody in here has already spent too damn long here to begin with. So, you know, what we might do, if y'all are open to it, I mean, y'all really helped Mordric turn things around for himself. He was leading a death cult under the mines of Ford Falls, and y'all really brought him back. Is there anything that y'all could maybe do to try to help some of these people recover and try to kind of get back out into the world?
They look at each other and say, we can certainly try.
I would really prefer that the Fountain of the Flame not be a prison anymore.
Yeah, no one's getting rehabilitated in here.
Right, and you know, we know it ain't our place to invite folks to Sacrament. It's been a secret for a reason for a long time, but if it's maybe something you and Seer Maeve might be willing to think over, it might really do a lot of folks a lot of good.
One says, "Seer Maeve, I think this is a good conversation to have with her. We'll make sure that everyone who is in here goes to the place in which they can be helped the most."
Lovely.
Great.
"You have my word."
What's your name, darling?
I'm Seer Callahan.
Seer Callahan, pleasure to meet you. Salome, Wyatt, Hayden.
Howdy.
Hi.
Philomena. Little one over there has had some scrapes.
Philomena stares daggers at these seers.
But yeah, if we can find a way to get people some help, that would be great. In the meantime, we got to clear this place out.
Well, I mean, my soldiers and I were attempting to do so when we were accosted by this small woman.
She packs a punch.
She tends to... Yeah, that checks out.
Follow me. Now, why don't we help let these folks out? Yeah?
I'd also like to introduce myself. I know about you, but I'm Wyatt.
Oh, damn. You're a child.
Oh, yeah, this is a big fluffy boy. We ran into Wyatt right after we lost you in the Battle of Twin River.
Damn. Well, passing ships.
It sounds like you, I know I kind of said this before, but it sounds like you might have some questions about the flame. So I'm open to answer any and all you have.
Yeah, I got one. Y'all got any cream corn? I'm starving.
Oh. Personally, no.
Honestly, I think I might. And I just go into one of my pockets and pull out a can from way back when.
Ford Falls?
Yeah.
She says, oh.
Hey, it's just as good as it was then.
That's that Ford Falls cream corn, too.
Yeah. I can't help it. I just take food. I just do it.
Hayden, how many bran muffins? You better tell me. Okay, hold on. How many damn bran muffins you got in there right now?
Sorting through. Only three.
That's a lot. Don't look at me like that. I know what your face looks like when you're lying, Kincaid.
I didn't know
how many bran muffins do you have? This is not the day to test me.
Genuinely, only three. I've been tossing them. I've been trying to give them to people. Nobody wants them. Apparently, there's this whole
rattle
Hayden's thing.
Coat and one more falls out.
I'm coming out. I'm saying it. I'm the one who gave you the bran muffin in the first place, all right? I didn't know about the whole thing.
You traitor. You were the one that gave me the damn bran muffin to begin with.
Go ahead and stab me.
I gotta go. Follow me.
Wyatt heats up the cream corn can while this is happening, and just Wyatt and Philomena just eat it while this conversation is happening, like popcorn.
Taking handfuls of cream corn.
When somebody gave me a bran muffin and we didn't know who it was, and Hayden said they didn't do it, and they tried to blame it on you?
It was me.
It was... They got the bran muffin the whole time.
I know. As we're, like, letting people out.
Philomena says this to Wyatt.
Wait, you know what a bran muffin is, right?
Of course I know what a bran muffin is.
Yeah, but, like, do you know, like, the cultural significance of receiving a bran muffin?
I mean, I've learned.
Okay.
Hayden's given them to a lot of people.
Wow.
All right. Well,
wait, they have?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It,
yeah. They're not lying about having less than they once had.
No wonder they're wanted in so many places.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the reason?
And not carnally.
Hold on. Seer Callahan and anybody else that's opening doors, can we keep an eye out for somebody named Q? If y'all just mention the name, see if you find anybody.
Sure. We can. We can scour the logbook as well, see if they're in here.
I don't think that they would be in the logbook as Q is the problem.
Hmm.
Honestly, I don't expect to find them, but just throw the name around, see if anybody reacts.
Right.
Wait, Q is here?
We don't know. Fel is here. Fel was the Wraith.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently, they've got a vendetta against the rest of the Fatespun players, like they were betrayed somehow. I'll have to ask Call and the others.
I heard them call you a friend of the Briars. Might be something to do with that.
Maybe Lila has some answers for us as well.
Yeah, can we have a look around here and see if we can find... I want to find Loda and let her out. I want to find Q, if we can find Q.
Yeah. You search. I won't make you roll for this, because everyone who's here is here. You go to the cell that Loda was in to find it empty.
Empty like she got out, or just empty?
As you go to investigate the open door of the cell, you hear, oh, took you long enough.
Loda? Wait, hold on. You in here?
She is standing at the end of the row. And she says, no, this section got let out earlier. I just stuck around just in case you were still here.
Oh, holy hell. We came to let you out. Yeah, did you meet the folks that let you out?
I did.
You did?
I did. They couldn't tell me anything, but they... They're from there, aren't they?
I have made a promise not to discuss anything of the sort. But if you want to talk to them...
That's confirmation enough for me.
Listen, you can go chat with them all you want, but...
They ain't going to hear the end of me. I'm gonna keep pestering them. I'm going to see how hard and fast this rule is.
Right, well, they might tell you about it or take you to see it, but the thing is, you can't tell Jim about it.
I don't know. I think Jim and I might be done.
Yeah, good.
Like, for good this time.
Yeah, I think...
I don't know. I think there's a certain level of self-respect.
I think so. You know, like, I just don't really think Jim was doing anything for you, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's a little bit of a... He's a little bit of a man-child at the end of the day.
Like, he is, and I feel like I keep running into these people, like this woman that I ran into here, who keeps finding herself with the wrong men, and it just keeps messing her up. I mean, it happened to me, happened to you, happened to her. I just think maybe you're better off on your own.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of men these days.
I know. I don't know what we're going to do about that. I'm trying to take care of it, but... No, but really, go talk to them. Go see if you can get them to give you a little information. It's good to meet you.
Well, hey, thank you for your part in all this. I don't know exactly what you did, but I get the feeling that you and whoever you're with were behind this. So
I didn't do anything. That kid over there with the flame scar on his hand did most of it, and the changeling with the fire in their hair.
Damn, you roll with some pretty odd folk.
I know, it's a lot of fun.
That's cool.
I gotta have some people to make me look interesting.
She turns and starts to stride off. She says, well, thank you.
Anytime.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
Attention, Dungeon Masters! One of the best DMing tools ever made just got even better. Pocket Bard, the easiest immersive audio solution for TTRPGs, is now available on desktop. They've got a massive library of music, sound effects, and ambiance that do wonders for bringing you and your players into the world of the game. And it's all made by real humans with no ads and no AI. I've been playing around with Pocket Bard for my home games for a while now, but I like being able to access all of my tools directly from my laptop so I don't have to juggle a bunch of different devices. And now I can! Plus, it's free! Just head on over to pocketbard.app and download it for free today on both Windows and Mac. After all, June 27th is Free RPG Day, so why not treat yourself to a beautiful soundscape for your next campaign session? Pocket Bard. Bigger screen, same bard. Check it out today.
Howdy, y'all. Are you looking for a way to design and build models of your own favorite tabletop characters? If you are, I want to introduce you to Hero Forge. At HeroForge.com, you can create a fully customizable miniature using their database of dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all from their super user-friendly website. You can order your custom mini directly from Hero Forge or download and print it at home if you have access to a 3D printer. We use Hero Forge to start designing our Badlands characters way back at the beginning, and their huge range of customization options really helped us to bring the Twin River Trio to life. But Hero Forge does more than just minis. They also do 3D custom printed dice and custom acrylic keychains. If you expect to make a lot of minis, I would recommend checking out their Pro or Pro Plus subscription. The Pro subscription gives you access to kit bashing, photo booth, and tools to organize your minis. Pro Plus gives you all of that, plus 5 monthly digital credits for either printing at home or moving your creations over to a virtual tabletop. Visit HeroForge.com today to start designing your own custom minis. And don't forget to check back often. New content is added every week. Happy building!
aren't you just a sweetie? And snaps his neck.
Great. Thanks, Colleen. Maybe I will get that longer leash.
Under the watchful eye of Dole, I ask that this soul be guided safely to what lies beyond.
That is very sweet of you, V.
I am sweet, I know.
I was going to say more, but not anymore.
I understand what my responsibilities are. And unfortunately, it's not just to this one church. Griam has made that abundantly clear. And I'm sorry that I can't stay here with you for the rest of my life, praying in a dark room.
You could have if you wanted to. You could have. It could have been me and you. Pugga, why do you want to be a noble?
It's complicated, but back home, things have gotten a little weird. And I need to be able to take care of things because I can't always trust the people there to take care of it.
And I hear you've already gotten your group assignment?
Yeah. The general said something about submitting it.
Yes, he submitted it. And then I swear I looked at it a different way and I'm quite surprised with which group you got put with.
What are they like?
Join us as our not-quite-heroes return to the Adventuring College of Alona on Thursday, September 3rd, as we premiere episodes 1 through 3 of Minds Never Matter, Season 2, Sophomore Year, everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Get out your adventuring gear, because it's time to return to the world of Wildsea, with the newest release from our friends over at MythWorks, known as The Wildsea. Sourdown. This is a massive expansion for the Wildsea, centered on the new region of Sourdown, the legendary home of the arachnid species Chelicrae, full of pale groves, quiet regrets, and the ever-looming threat of death around every corner. Sourdown includes this new region with three new factions and a whole host of hazards, as well as four new background options, a new bloodline, thematic new ship options, and a brand new adventure that can scale in difficulty based on the power level of your party. The Wildsea Sourdown is live now on Kickstarter, so head on over and back the campaign now to unlock all kinds of amazing goodies. Let's set sail together, for the Wildsea is calling us once again.
As cells are opened, it is a long process. There's a lot of people here. And as the cells go and people are released, there is no turning up of the name Q. The seers return and say, no one here has heard of anyone who goes under that moniker.
Fair enough. I'll keep looking for them. Thank you.
Certainly.
I know we got a lot going on, but you mentioned a flame book with a library and stuff, you know?
Yes. Library is up that way. Let me actually go get that book off Doc Dervish, and then I'll bring it back to you.
You do. You go to his rose-infested corpse.
Cool.
A body with a big goddamn hole through it.
Mm-hmm.
Woof.
And you pick up the book. The book was in his jacket at the time that he was shot through. So you do see a good chunk of it has been blasted off.
Well, all right. I bet this ain't the only copy.
Just take it down to Wyatt and Hayden and toss it on a table next to Wyatt.
Most of it is still legible.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be quite frank with you. The plot does not have much more to give in this direction.
Mm.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
The pit is being flushed out. Some people go with the seers. Some people travel back out into the desert. But all of them leave. Until, in the end, it is you three, Philomena, Mordric, and Seer Callahan remains behind. And Seer Callahan pats Mordric on the shoulder and says, "Well, you've shown quite initiative for a rookie. Looks like we might have a new seer on our hands in no time." And Mordric sort of bashfully grins. And Seer Callahan turns to the three of you and says, okay, well, I believe Mordric and I will probably be headed back to Sacrament.
Well, listen, give Seer Maeve our best, and I'll be glad to see y'all reunited. Maybe we'll meet again on the road sometime after all this is over.
If you have need of us, call upon us.
What? Do you think you'd ever be interested in studying this side of the flame?
Hmm.
I know you already studied through the church, but could be interesting to see it from another perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't want to tell you what to do, but it could be fun.
I don't know if I want to be a seer, because I feel like there's the kind of hidden society of it all will kind of make it harder to help people.
Yeah.
But maybe once this is all over, maybe they won't have to be hidden anymore.
Well, and I think we're making our way back to Twin River. Unless, actually, I've been meaning to talk to y'all. Do you think there's any reason to go to Fort Braddock?
Is there? Not sure that's a desirable location.
Casey, is there any reason to go to Fort Braddock?
Fort Braddock.
Are we near Fort Braddock?
You are, actually.
Oh.
You are closer to Fort Braddock than anywhere else right now. And it, like, you're closer to Fort Braddock than you are Twin River. What you know about Fort Braddock is that it leans Threed, as it is a military installation. It is deep in the Badlands, though. Like, it's pretty far out here. So whether or not it continues to lean Threed after everything that has happened, you're not sure.
Is it also a prison?
It is not. It's a military base.
Okay.
I suppose what's your goal in going there? Are you thinking of raiding for supplies or recruiting?
Recruiting. I know that Shift was talking about getting the refinery back open. They were talking about drawing on some of Echo's help. But the reality is that Threed has more military power than we ever will. They're trained. Anybody, I mean, just by nature of how people enlist. Look at Barabbas. The only people that have been in the military have been in the military with Threed. And so I think it might be useful to have some real soldiers with us.
I see your point, but part of me is thinking, if we're really trying to declare war, the Badlands are who's going to get hurt. I think we need to be a little more surgical.
Look, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I think that even if we're trying to be surgical about this, we have to have some sort of leverage, both in case it all goes to hell and also because Threed only ever listens to power and money, but we ain't got any of that. So we have got to have some sort of fire powder backing us up here. They won't even take us seriously.
Well, if that's the case, then maybe we could send someone who, if they say no, can mess them up a little bit. Maybe we don't go, but we ask some of our friends.
Sure. You thinking about having Shift send somebody from Twin River?
I wasn't thinking Shift would send someone. I was thinking maybe someone who's here with us now, who has a, maybe not always the most diplomatic, but is able to
but
turn
persuasive.
Invisible.
That's fair.
You're not suggesting to Philomena, are you?
I like where you're
well,
head's
here's
at.
Well, here's the thing. If we send Philomena and she agrees, then if they don't agree, she could absolutely mess everything up over there, whether it's the train tracks or just their supplies. She's really good at that.
All right,
I agree with that aspect. We need to make sure she knows what the message is that she's trying to send, because we just saw her sending some wild messages out there.
Philomena says, what message you want me to send? From, like, right behind you.
Oh, shit! How are you just always here?
I think we just need a temperature check on their alignment. And if anyone would like to align with the Badlands, you know, like, where they're from, they can come join us in Twin River.
Right. Okay. Well, shoot.
Is that something you're willing to do? I don't want to put you in danger again.
Girly, I've been through these Badlands over and over and over. It seems like every time I see you for 5 minutes, and then I get chucked off a bridge or run out of town or any number of things. So
we're going to have to get dinner one of these days.
You know, this time, I'm at least going out on my terms.
And if they don't
want to help us, you can make sure they don't help anybody.
Yeah, I can kill him.
No, okay, maybe, I mean, no, not
I
that.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, maybe, but probably not. That's like plan Z.
All right.
That's like there plan Z.
Okay.
There are railroads going from Fort Braddock to Threed. Maybe kill those first.
Yeah.
Kill the railroads. Okay. Yeah.
Kill the, the tracks specifically.
Maybe you could dump some creamed corn into like their fire powder barrels or something.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Dump some cream corn into the fire powder. I think step one, recruit.
Yes.
If that fails, sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Philomena says, you know what? I'll see what I can find. And if I can't find anything, I'll see myself out.
So if you're up for it, I can check in with you in a couple days via sending.
That sounds good. I don't have sending, so I was going to try and find a pigeon and maybe like train it to find you guys, like a carrier pigeon.
We'll find you. We'll go the other way.
Don't call us, we'll call you. I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no, you can call us anytime you want, girl, but...
All right, well...
If you have a way to call, you can do it, but we will call you regardless.
All right. Hey, group hug?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
She hugs all of you.
I don't know if anyone bumps on the fact that Hayden just very willingly hugs Philomena.
Hayden must be feeling good.
Yeah. Feels good, folks. All right, well, toodles, ciao.
Arrivederci.
Bye. And then turns invisible.
I didn't know she was Elvish.
And you start heading back to Twin River?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You start heading back. It's a dusty road back to Twin River. It's a couple days travel. Honestly, it's about a week before the area around you starts to green a little bit. It's a little... The area around the pit was pretty mountainous. You traveled out of that into the arid desert for a few days. And then towards the end of the week, the desert starts to green a little bit. You see mountains in the distance. And before long, you crest a hill and overlook, and in the distance is that massive bridge structure city that is Twin River.
Home.
Much
as I ever had one.
Before we head into Twin River and do whatever we're going to do there, can I take like one of our sleep camps that we're at on this walk and ask a favor from Hayden?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Anything you want.
I don't know if we all have individual tents or our own tents, but Wyatt certainly has his own tent and goes and knocks or goes over to Hayden and says, do you think you might be able to help me out with something?
Of course, always. What do you need?
Since we ran into Clive back in Echo, and just with kind of all this talk of getting to Twin River to go to Threed, I was wondering if you might be able to help me. Talk to my dad.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't have any sort of sending spell or any way to reach out to him, but...
Oh, no, I could do that. I haven't really ever talked to him, and I'm sure that this is going to be a really different conversation whenever it happens.
You want me to... take a shape?
Yeah, if maybe. Yeah?
Sure, I could do that. Of course. I'm not sure if I'd be all that accurate of a representation of him, since I've never met him. But, I don't know, maybe Salome can give me one of those wisp connection things so that I get some sense of his personality. I know that she's met him and you've met him, but I'll do what I can.
I mean, I could always tell you what he looks like.
If you're not looking for a direct, I'm just so used to breaking into people's houses and pretending to be them that I was expecting I needed to be more completely accurate. So if you just need close, I can do close.
I appreciate your commitment to the role, but
I like doing deep research.
I imagine this like a police sketch where Wyatt's like, oh no, his eyes are a little higher. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you have any kind of image of him or something you carry around with you?
No.
All right. Well then, yeah, just grab him. I'll do the best I can. I just start off, like, first I just turn into Wyatt, and then he's like, all right, I will adjust as needed.
Casey, did you have a description for my dad? Because I didn't have
a... Yeah, Wyatt, you begin to describe a hobgoblin man. He's about 6'1", a little taller than most. His hair is slicked back into a warrior's ponytail. He has a thick mustache that is curled at the ends. Thick eyebrows that cover eyes that pierce and study. To the untrained person, the bushy eyebrows, the mustache, the ponytail, they show a man out of touch. A man who is concerned with fashion. But the perceptive see the eyes beneath. The eyes that tick. The eyes that follow, that study an opponent. This is a man who was born a warrior and turned it into a business. He is as cutthroat in the boardroom as he is on the battlefield. He shows no mercy because he doesn't believe in it.
When Hayden finishes transforming into Wyatt's dad, John Patrick, Wyatt just looks at him frozen in the night and he tries to say something and just he can't get it out. And eventually, honestly, probably after a couple minutes, just looks at Hayden as his dad and says, thank you for your help. I'm sorry. I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm positive.
Just let me know if you ever want to try again.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Hey, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. I know. And heads back to his tent.
And Wyatt, you go to bed. Even with Hayden's voice coming from your father's visage, it's his eyes. More than anything else, that they just strike fear. Maybe it's going to be a long time before you're able to look at those eyes without it. The next day, you find yourself before Twin River. The city looks a lot better than it has. It looks as if the work has continued in your absence. Twin River looks as good as it did before the battle. There are still signs of scars as fights tend to leave. But instead of hiding these scars, the townspeople of Twin River have featured them, filled in the cracks with gold and jewels and things that make the city glow. Twin River does not hide its scars. It stands proud of them and proud to have survived them. And as you make your way to its gate, One of the soldiers outside comes rushing to you and says, Salome Breyer, Hayden Kincaid, Wyatt Forsythe.
Yes?
Hello?
Director Schiff needs to see you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Lead the way.
We are on our way.
Great. I was ordered to take you upon your return to take you directly to Director Shift.
Yes, sir.
If you will, takes you in to town, leads you to Maverick's office, or I guess Shift's office. You head in, and Shift sits at her desk, and swiveling around in one of the chairs in front of her desk is a familiar Kinku. Behind him, along the wall, are several automatons with certain
oh shit
slot machine
Hayden ducks immediately.
The slot machines stand.
Why I cast sanctuary?
Stand along the back of the wall, awaiting commands. And Shift says, "Great. I'd heard you were here. Perfect. Please sit."
"Yes, ma'am. Cordran, you made it out here in a hurry.
Glad to see you."
Cordran smiles, signs, and an interpreter standing nearby says, "It's good to see you as well."
"I'm sorry about Gore."
"Gore was a good man." And he signs something to the interpreter, and the interpreter says, "A damn good interpreter." "But in my line of work, loss is expected. It is grieved, but expected."
"We've all experienced plenty."
And Shift says, "Be all that as it may, our new head of Echo shoots you a little bit of a look and says, "Our new head of Echo has come here to discuss next steps. Have you reached out to Philomena?"
"Oh, if we've been traveling for
that
long, yes."
"Okay.
I would have, yes. Wyatt would have definitely cast sending over the travels."
"Okay, great." In response, Philomena sends back, you get the message that Fort Braddock is empty.
Oh.
It's a ghost town.
Of people and supplies?
Everything's gone.
Oh.
Wow.
It's empty. The place has been picked clean. There are no people. There is no signs of a struggle. The place looks to be in order. It is just devoid of people and supplies, munitions.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing here.
I tell Philomena that she can still mess things up if she wants.
And assuredly Philomena does. Shift says, "We have seen a decrease in Badlands attacks. Threed's forces are withdrawing. We've received word that Red Rock is no longer occupied. It is in ruins, but it is no longer occupied."
"Are they going on the defense?"
"I am worried that they are concentrating their forces. One last push."
"Yeah, it don't sound like Threed is too confident to just go on the defensive like this."
"I think they will make a targeted push. Something larger. If they have... I don't know if the Peacemaker was the only one of its kind."
"Took too much work to get rid of it the first time."
"You think they're coming here?"
"I think they're going to try to do in full force what they tried to do the first time. But now is as good a time as any to head for Threed."
"Mm-hmm."
"Stop the war before that push. Since Red Rock has been unoccupied, we've been gathering forces there. A frontal assault is going to be rough. Threed is still stronger than our forces, and we'd be laying siege to a city that has never been taken under any circumstances." And that's when Cordran steps in. He signs, "There is another option. My sources within Threed have identified a shift heralded by this tightening of the guard. The Prime Minister of Threed has been voted out, and Tiberius has been named to replace him by an emergency council. They're holding a gala to honor this change in leadership and to continue to raise funds for the war effort. Perhaps, if we were to gain invitations to this event for certain infiltrators, we might dispose of the leadership of this war effort before it could get started.
Hold on, Tiberius is being named Prime Minister?
I mean, he's always been in control, hasn't he? Haven't they just formalized it?
What happened?
There was a lack of confidence in the current Prime Minister, a belief that there was not enough to be done, that there was not enough being done. And so they decided to hand the reins to someone who could finish the job.
I'm sorry, but he wasn't elected?
In times of emergency, the Threedian ministry has the right to take it upon itself to enact emergency protocols.
So this is what Fax was talking about by a new sole government in Threed.
Circling around, you said dispose of the leadership. You mean assassination.
We've always heading that way.
Cordran looks at the party and says, it's worked before.
Cordran, do you have any idea what the people on the ground in Threed are thinking?
Divided. There are those who stand with the war effort and those who stand against it. There is confusion. Much hatred. Anger. The perfect climate to rouse strong feelings in its people. To make angry political moves.
I got a question. I mean, listen. More than anyone, I want to see Threed taken down. And I don't have much love for Tiberius Jameson in me. But I have my questions about whether an assassination would be effective in a moment where everything is already boiling over.
Shift says, I fully agree. We cannot assassinate Tiberius Jameson. He and his family are too intrinsic to Threed. It would only fan the flames of the war effort.
What it seems like we need here is a way to get Tiberius in a position where he's got no choice but to sit down and negotiate with you. Which sounds to me like we have enough people in Red Rock, enough firepower on our side, and enough dirt on the Jameson family and Tiberius and Threed, and then doing it in a way that doesn't make it look like we started it.
Cordran signs, I'm interested in this plan. We have seen what cutting off the head of the snake can do, and we can always continue that plan as needed. Perhaps as a last resort.
Listen, if it needs to be done, he's my brother-in-law. I'll do it myself.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be that easy.
I know, but it'll get done if it needs to get done.
So it's agreed. I believe now is the time to strike fear in the heart of Threed. If we can get them to doubt their own war effort, perhaps there will be no war waged. Cordran stands up and says, well, I will leave you to iron out the details. But it seems that there is a plan slowly forming. I will do what I can to get you into that party. From there, the Badlands are in your hands.
Right, about that. I could see Wyatt, certainly, and Hayden in disguise, maybe, but I think you might have a little bit of a difficult time trying to get me into a party in Threed.
Cordran smiles and says, "Oh, my dear, you have nothing to worry about, for it is indeed a masquerade." And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Amazing.
Why, it's only been to the kids' table at these balls.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Mage Hand High Five,
The Badlands.
Want to come help us out? Show your support for the show? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. We've got all kinds of different goodies depending on what tier you come into. We've got homebrew content. We've got a whole second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about the nitty gritty behind the scenes stuff. It's very cool. Check it out. And we even have monthly live streams. We have creative content from the cast, all kinds of stuff that you can't get anywhere else. So head on over to patreon.com/magehandhighfive to learn all about it. Thanks to Jacob Kirzner for our music and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Magehand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. It helps us with the algorithm. It helps other people find us. It helps grow our audience and build up this fantastic fan community that you have been such a wonderful, important part of. And thank you so much for all of you who have reviewed. And if you haven't, go on and do it now. There's no time like the present. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers over on Patreon, both our original and our up high tiers. And I'm going to do it in one breath. Crimson Crown, finding new ways of making Robin regret giving me this power, so I'll make it as long as possible. Fear me, Robin. Michael Carey, Marin Nutt, Malty, Azure, Luke Sharples, Miranda Koppel, Jay, Theo Wells, White, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, DM Dippyfresh, Darth Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads Jellycube, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trot Relief, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, AM Lovely, Zelson DeVelvis, Dutch Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Alfred Turkey, Liz, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Cut, Tyler Connor, Alice, Soldier, Wanna Pay, I thought I was gonna pace myself. And then I just had nothing, and I had to keep going. Yikes. Oh, boy. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell your favorite fictional character about the show. I don't know how you're going to do it. Just turn on your Nintendo and just tell Mario while you're in the middle of playing the game, "Hey, listen to a podcast." I've gone crazy due to lack of air. But whatever, whenever you do it, use the hashtag MHH5 and hey, how about a high five?